Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This week in our second reading, we continue with our letter to the Corinthians. Last week, Paul pointed out exactly what the first problem of the church was. They have divided themselves into factions based on who they think has the most right understanding of God and Jesus. Paul, Apollos, Peter, or even just Christ himself. And Paul responds to this division into factions, not by playing referee, not by saying, oh, it's definitely me, I'm right, I got it, listen to me. Which, you know, I'm sure Paul probably thought he was right. But he spends his time writing to the Corinthians, pointing out that this disagreement they are having, this division into factions they are having, is actually the wrong conversation to have at all. I think of the Corinthian church trying to understand their new faith, trying to do it the best and most right, and dividing into these groups that they think are most right. And think of the very human desire for control and for power. Because you see, if I have all of the answers, if I pick the right teacher with the right answers, and I have control over what will happen to me and all of those who love me. If I have a list of steps to be saved, and I walk through those steps like check boxes on a to-do list, then I know for sure I've got the salvation thing taken care of. This is something that the Christian church has continued to do since the beginning. That human desire to grab hold, to control, to know, comes out of our own fears of what happens if we don't. What happens if we don't have control? What happens if we're wrong? We don't like that answer. It probably varies from person to person. When I was little, really young, afraid of storms, and I lived in Texas, so spring was rough. And I decided, I know what I'll do. When I grow up, I'll be a meteorologist. Not because I'm good at science or interested in math. They do a lot of math. But because then I'll know. Then I'll always be prepared. I'll always have control over when the storms will come, and I'll be safe. Storms are the epitome of chaos in this world in certain ways. And my young mind did not like it. I didn't like not knowing. I didn't like not having control over who would be safe if a tornado came, whose houses it would hit. I'm not a meteorologist, and that's probably for the best for both the meteorology community and my own well-being. We continue to seek that sense of control, and we don't always name it that way. We name it having the best theology. We name it following the Bible just right. We want to have all the answers because this faith thing, it matters so much to us and to those we love. What happens if I teach someone I love the faith and I've taught them the wrong thing? What will happen to them and what will happen to me? What happens if I devote my life, my time, my energy, my money to this thing that I think is right? And it's wrong. It's much easier to devote all that time and energy and resources if I know for sure. So I'll pick the right teacher, the right pastor, the right church, and I'll make sure I'm doing it right, and anybody who's different from me, well, they must be wrong. It started in small ways in the Corinthian church, and suddenly they are split among at least four different groups of people, all vying for being the most right. And Paul writes to them and he says, "Oh, my children, you're asking the wrong questions. You're looking at this the wrong way. It's not about who is more right, me or Apollos or Peter. It's not about which of us got the best answer on our Christian test. This is about God. And when God came to earth, took on the human nature of Jesus of Nazareth, when God walked through this world, a poor man, receiving help from those around him, teaching them and healing them, and when God was killed in a way that was only considered to be humiliating and demeaning, God showed us that it's not about being the most correct. God instead worked through a love that is so vulnerable, it even could lead to death. God loved this world so much that he became a vulnerable human who could hurt, who could lose people he loved, who could be killed himself. God showed us that all of our wisdom, all of our knowledge, all of our correct answers are nothing in light of God's foolishness of loving us that deeply, that tangibly. And there is nothing more vulnerable than love. That is who God is, and God showed us that. And Paul reminds us of that. God's foolishness is wiser than any of our wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than any of our strength. God's foolishness in becoming vulnerable, God's weakness in becoming a human being who could hurt and suffer and die, all of that is so much bigger than our knowledge, our wisdom, our correct answers, our strength. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about following a God who would be this for us, who would do this for us, who would love us this much. And in following God who loves us this much in this way, we are invited to be vulnerable and loving in kind. Our other readings for this Sunday, we read from Micah. And I remember when I first learned Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? It's not about the right festivals on the right days and sacrificing just in the right way. It's about loving people who are being oppressed, people for whom the world is unjust. It is about being merciful to those around us who are sinning, who are doing their best and failing, because we ourselves do our best and fail. And it's about walking with a God who loves this world that much. And Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount first by telling everybody something that wouldn't have made sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are peacemakers, those who are persecuted and reviled, all of those who you would probably not want to be because it might hurt, because it would be vulnerable, because it wouldn't keep you safe. Blessed are they because they are with God, following Jesus as he will go along the path to his death and resurrection for all of the world. I know I still like to be right. It's going to be part of me for the rest of my life. I feel safe with knowledge, and I feel safe when I'm right. And that is so true for so many. But Paul reminds us that it's not about right and wrong. It's not about having the best theology and the most correct answers. It's about following a God who loves so broadly and so deeply that God would live and suffer and die just so that God could save all of us. It may be hard